Colossians chapter 3. I want you to give attention to the 16th verse of the chapter. So today, in the will of God, I want mainly to concentrate on that verse 16. But I'm going to add the verse 17 for good measure. Because in verse 16, if you like, you have your Bible reading. And then in verse 17, the work that you intend to do for the Lord. And we can't really divorce the two, can we? All important it is that you should carry the Word of God with you. And indeed, carry the Word in book form as well as in your heart. But there's the child of God and the Bible. That's verse 16. And 17. All important it is for me to mention the work that the Lord requires you to do. And verse 17 concerns the work that you will render unto the Lord in the way of service. I want to read the verse. And of course, you can read the words in your heart as well. Let these words sink in. Let them grip your soul. Let them burn like a fire within your very being. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Take that personally. Put your name on this verse. You could even say, let the word of Christ dwell in me, Lord. Dwell in me. Let's make it that personal. That surely is the intention here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And now the service. Because it wouldn't be God's purpose, would it, for you to give all your time to the study of the Word, important as that is, and never get to do anything for the Lord. Or let me put that another way. Never attempt to do something for the Lord. Because we have to cry aloud concerning our efforts. They're so feeble and ineffective. We're tempted to think at times our efforts are fruitless. Nevertheless, the Lord has called us to do something for Him. And verse 17 brings home to you the mind of God. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, the language is plain. Well, the word, the things you say, let me try to get that across in the meeting. The things you say, they come up here. And then the things you do, that's the deeds. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. A little word of three letters. How far-reaching it is. All, do all. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We'll keep our Bibles open, asking for the help of the Lord. O Lord, we come before Thee now. We give the remainder of this meeting, the preaching part of this service, into Thy hand. Conduct our way, Lord. Guide us in our reflections, our meditation on Thy Word. Let the Holy Spirit Himself communicate to us with great power the things pertaining to Christ. We thank Thee for the finished work of the cross, the precious blood that He shed for us to wash us from all our sins. And we thank Thee too for the work that he has given us to do for him. How ill-equipped we feel at times, Lord, we are for that work. We are aware of our shortcomings. We know all about our failures. But Lord, what we do, we have to do in thy name. And help us, Lord, to put that into practice. Come, Lord, speak to me. Speak to my soul. Grant to all in this congregation a word that we'll have to say that's a word in season. For truth, for surety, for certainty it is. Lord, let that word now come home to us with powerful conviction. And let that word be planted in the heart by the Lord himself and no other. And oh God, let that word bear fruit abundantly through the coming days. Oh, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this verse 16 is set in a chapter that you would want to read again and again. A chapter that's full of timely instruction. I can look at every child of God in this congregation and say, well, this is like a chapter for the new year, and the word that I have selected, that verse 16, and yes, let's add the 17th verse as well. These two verses, here are words that you can take to heart for this very year as it stretches out ahead of us in the will of the Lord. You can see that as far as I look at the chapter, you can see that everything hinges on verses 16 and 17. The words that go before, for example. And yes, there are 15 verses there, quite a lot to try to get a hold of. But every verse seems to stand out as a singular message for the child of God. If ye be risen with Christ, the start of the chapter, seek those things which are above. Every child of God will want to pray that word into his soul. Set your affection, verse 2, on things above, not on things on the earth. And to help you do that, you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I don't see any other way to achieve that. To live for Christ, to be risen with Christ, to seek those things definitely that are above, to set your affection. Listen, God's talking about your soul. Set your affection on things above. And I am convinced that verse 16 is the implement, so to speak, the tool that God puts in your hand to enable you to do that very thing. Then you look at verse 5 on through to 7, the lifestyle of the ungodly. There is uncleanness in the world today, and the Christian is not to be a part of it. He's not to copy the world. Verse 6 shows that if we take for our consideration this terrible list of vile practices that are everywhere in society these days, the child of God is not to be a part of this. And verse 7 shows that for some of God's people, they may have had that lifestyle in days gone by, but now, in verse 8, they're to put off all these things. What about verse 16 then? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. The word of Christ is to have a sanctifying effect upon you, so that you put off these things that will only besmirch your testimony and drag the name of Christ in the gutter. There are things you must put off. And then, conversely, in verse 10, you put on the new man. And to enable you to do this in practice, you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we go on there looking at details in the chapter specifically for the instruction of the child of God. And to me, the chapter just hinges on this verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." The sanctifying power of the word of God. The Christian is to know more about the Bible, certainly, but he is to know more of the power of the word of God in his life. And you take the verses that come after in chapter 3. You must have noticed how the Spirit of God at the end of the chapter is singling out various categories among the saints. And you have there from verse 18 onwards. You've seen this yourself, surely, in the reading of the chapter. You have the wives and the husbands. You have the children. We have children here now. The Lord has a word for the boys and girls and for those young people who are here who still have to be classed as children, even though you feel grown up and so on. But there's a word for the children here. And the fathers. Then there is a message for the servants in verse 22 and the masters in verse 1 of chapter 4. Do you see that? How the chapter division there spoils the application for some, because maybe you just tend to finish the reading at the last verse of the chapter without thinking to read on. And you've got to do that. You've got to read on. Certainly here you require to do that, because there you have the masters. The servants are addressed in verse 22, but the masters, nobody's left out. And to all in these categories, the wives who are here now, husbands here now, children present in this congregation, the fathers who are here, the servants, the masters. Well, maybe today we've got to change the terminology a bit. And with the word master there, you'll have to consider the employers, people with any kind of authority or leadership. You're in a place of responsibility. You may not look on yourself as a master. Well, let's forget the term, if that's the difficulty. Well, I say rather, the Lord's speaking about categories. And without doubt, we have people in this congregation who are installed in places of, we may call it authority or leadership or responsibility, whereby you have an accountability for others under your wing. The Lord's speaking to you. And then for those who are in service, or who are working, as it were, under that direction, then the Lord speaks to them as well. What a message we have in the chapter. And to me, all hinges in verse 16. Let the word of Christ. Men and women, the Lord's singling out the categories. Do you see that? Categories that are represented now all over this congregation. We're not leaving anybody out. Therefore, you must look at verse 16 with all the more attention. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Every child of God here needs to give special time to devotion. Opening the book, getting alone with God. How many here are reading God's word as they ought? Could it be that some present in the congregation, although you belong to the Lord, could it be that personally you're neglecting God's word? You're not giving the attention that you ought to give to the scriptures every day. It's perfectly clear, isn't it, that the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly. if you have time for this and that and almost everything, but not enough time alone with God, with God's book in front of you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if there are some in the congregation and in times gone by, you were diligent readers of the word of God, really setting out to study God's word. And in this last little while, whether we're talking about the whole of last year or the months in the past, you have become somewhat cold. You've gotten away from the Lord. And the book is not being opened. I can't give an explanation for that, particularly in reference to you yourself. But oh, if there are some in this congregation who have begun to slip away, and recognize it or not, your heart is getting cold. I can certainly look at you in this congregation and say, the Word of God does not have its rightful place in your attention, in the time you have to devote to this, that, and nearly everything but God's precious Word. The time, therefore, has come, without making any exceptions, for the child of God in this congregation to say with more conviction than ever, I want to take more time with the book. I can see verse 16 is laid out plainly in God's word. It's a verse for me. Oh, may that be so. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I don't know that I can get time to say everything that needs to be said about this verse. But first of all, notice where it is. If you're going to memorize a verse, you'll want to memorize book, chapter, and verse. So we have Colossians. Colossians 3:16. There are verses here and there in the Bible that go by a similar notation. Chapter 3, verse 16. You'll all think about John. What about John 3:16? You could collect a number of verses, and this might help you to memorize them, because some of us are going to say, and we have good reason for saying it, I somehow can't get onto the chapter number, and don't ask me to remember the verse. But if we collected a number of verses, and all of them had this notation, chapter 3, verse 16, I think we would find that an encouragement to get to the memorization of them. Now, you needn't turn these up because I have the place already in my Bible and I want to get through them very quickly, but you might take a note of them. There's Zephaniah 3:16, a word that is for Jerusalem in the days to come when Christ shall return. But on that day, this is verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, I read the words because they have an application to us as well. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. And the next verse tells us why. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. That's a good reason why you should not fear, and why God has said, let not thine hands be slack. I did speak about the work this morning. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, I did speak about the work. And this comes right into that bracket. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Well, that's the reason why the Lord's saying, fear thou not. And why he says to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. Be encouraged in the Lord. Let not thine hands be slack. Get busy in the work. And to help you in that respect, it's Colossians 3:16. We can't forget John 3:16. That's maybe where we would start. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You can compile a list like this. Get the 3:16s of the Bible. Even here now, I'm not going to mention every one of them. But there's Malachi. Malachi 3:16. I have thought recently, maybe I should preach on this verse. Malachi 3:16. It deserves attention. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They're talking about the Lord here. They're talking often. They're talking time after time about the Lord and his word. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. There could be some churches in the country, and as people drift in and drift away again on a given Lord's day, there's not a word about the Lord. Hardly a mention made of Scripture. We're not doing this, you see. Some of us are, praise the Lord. But I intend here to encourage more and more this practice. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. To speak about the Lord more frequently, that's you. What has the Lord done for your soul today? What has he done for your soul last year, for example? Speak about it. Speak about the Lord. Speak more often about him. And here's the thing. The Lord hearkened. There's a listening ear to your conversation. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, some who didn't even get so far as to talk, had the thoughts. Now, that'll encourage you if you say, well, I don't think I have talked about the Lord as often as I should. But you had those precious thoughts. And the Lord put those thoughts in as well. And that's good, isn't it? That's the book of remembrance. Where is it? Malachi. And what's the notation? Chapter 3, verse 16. You turn over to the New Testament. 1 Timothy. Here I shorten the list. 1 Timothy 3:16 is a recognized confession for the Christian church. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. This is about the incarnation. We're not terribly far away from Christmas here today, but the decorations may have come down, or some of them may still be about. But God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. He was in Bethlehem's manger, seen of angels. Before that, in the glory, they had to cover their faces and their bodies with their wings, remember. But now, he's seen of angels. And preached unto the Gentiles, and believed all in the world, and received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16, and 2 Timothy 3:16. That's an all-important passage. Oh, don't lose track of this. The 3:16s of the Bible. Put together a little collection. And look at these verses, one after the other. And surely, this is an aid to memory, especially if you have to complain and say, I've got such a failing memory. 2 Timothy 3:16, one of the cardinal verses in your Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The devil says, no use you reading the Bible. That's a lie. God says it's profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16. So there we have detail enough about the place where it's found, Colossians. Aye, 3:16. I don't want you to forget that, to have it written in your soul. Look at verse 16 then. See this singular title for God's holy word. this Bible is called the Word of Christ. You see, the Word of Christ. Fix that in your mind. Well, that's the title for the whole Bible. When you refer to this book, you can, with all legitimacy, refer to it as the Word of Christ. And men and women, that applies to the Old Testament as well as to the New Testament. This is the Word of Christ. If I had the Old Testament separated from the New Testament, I could hold up the Old Testament and say, "This is the Word of Christ." That has to be written into your soul. It's called the Word of Christ. Let's just talk about the Old Testament for a moment. The Old Testament is called the Word of Christ because it's all about Him. In John chapter 5, now I'll get you to turn up this one. I spared you the task of turning up those other verses, but you can turn this one up. John chapter 5, and put a marker in the page because while I move on, I want to come back to John 5, and that'll be convenient for you if you have the marker in position. John 5 and 39. What am I saying? I'm saying the title for the whole Bible, the title for the Old Testament in particular, is the Word of Christ. And I'm saying the Old Testament is called the Word of Christ, and so is the whole Bible the Word of Christ, because it's all about Him. All about the Savior. Now you say, I accept that, but can you give me some authority? Yes. John 5:39. Our Lord Jesus Himself is speaking. There's no higher authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of the Church of God, why, we have Christ our Savior, our Mediator. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they. Notice the words here. Dear friend, mark this. They are they. The Lord's talking about the Scriptures. He requires you to search them. Oh, that I could leave this pulpit with acceptance and go right down the aisle and come to where you're sitting and say this to you personally. I know that would be very embarrassing, but it would be effective, if nothing else. Here's the Lord saying to you, do you see, search the Scriptures. Now, if you had to confess moments ago, I'm not giving the same time to the book that I did last year, say, or 5 years ago, should it be that longer time. Here's the Lord now giving you fresh direction, search the Scriptures. And the last line of verse 39 is the reason. They are they which testify of me. The Old Testament is all about Christ. The New Testament is all about Christ. The whole Bible is called the Word of Christ because it's all about Him. He's the center. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We see Christ. In practically every page, we can see Jesus there. The Holy Spirit Himself is called the Spirit of Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you can go to that passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, the Holy Spirit there is called the Spirit of Christ. Verses 10 and 12 all go together. 1 Peter chapter 1, what are we saying? The title for Scripture is the Word of Christ. The Old Testament, every bit as much as the New Testament, is the Word of Christ. Our Lord Jesus explains that the Bible is all about him. They are they that testify of me. Now, back of that, we see the Holy Spirit as the author of Scripture, called the Spirit of Christ, because it's his task in the writing of the Scriptures, which he's prompting in the writing of the Scriptures, to make much of Jesus Christ in his redemptive work, and also in regard to his return in the clouds of heaven. Read the words here. Allow me to just take excerpts. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. There's the salvation. The prophets of the Old Testament, I have said, they have spoken about Christ. They have inquired, they had to pray, they had to search diligently, as well as you, through the Scriptures. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? They prophesied of gospel days. And here is what they had to search out. They had to search out what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them. That's the name of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, because he will see to it that in the writing of the Scriptures themselves, Christ is magnified. It testified beforehand, verse 11, the sufferings of Christ. That's the cross. That's the cross. The sufferings of Christ are in the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament is the Word of Christ, because the intention in the giving of that part of the Bible is that the Scriptures would focus attention on Christ, the coming Savior. The sufferings of Christ are there, and also the glory that should follow. That's his coming again. So his first coming and his second coming are there as the subject of Holy Scripture. You see, they testify of me, the Lord Jesus explains. The Scriptures of the Old Testament are referred to in that passage in John 5:39. He's speaking to the Jews in Jerusalem. He's talking to them about the Old Testament. They are they that testify of me. And 1 Peter 1, 10 through to 12 will show, yes, they testify to him. What expressly do they testify to? They testify to his sufferings. And they testify to his coming again in the clouds of glory. You see, the first coming, his sufferings. You see, the second coming, the glory that yet awaits us when he comes again in the fullness of power. The Bible's called the Word of Christ because our Lord Jesus gave the Word himself in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38. These words are brought to our notice. We can turn up to that passage, for the reference is to how on the Mount Sinai with Moses, the Lord Jesus was in Mount Sinai. He's called the Angel of the Covenant, the Angel of the Lord. This is he, Acts 7 and 38, that was in the church in the wilderness. Moses was there on Mount Sinai, we know. He was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him. That's Christ, the angel of the Lord, who spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So, in type there, in type I say, the giving of the law was through Christ to Moses on Mount Sinai. Acts 7 and 38 makes that plain. Christ was there on Mount Sinai, and he authorized the giving of the Scriptures to Moses. And in type, that stands for all the Old Testament Scriptures given by Christ. So they're about him, about his sufferings, about his coming glory made manifest when he returns. But also, they're called the word of Christ because he gave those scriptures to Moses in type way back on Mount Sinai. And do you know that in Hebrews chapter 2, this is important. I wonder how many here in the congregation have noticed this before. I know some have, but maybe some have failed to do this thus far. Hebrews 2, concerning Christ and the Old Testament. Do you know that Christ is the speaker oftentimes in the Old Testament? For Hebrews 2, verse 12, our Lord Jesus is speaking. We're quoting here Psalm 22, in verse 22. He's saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ is the speaker. And we know that is true in Psalm 22, which begins with those unforgettable words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Clearly, Christ is the speaker. It's the word of Christ because so very often he's the speaker. Do you have a hold of that? The Old Testament may be called the word of Christ because very often he's the speaker. Psalm 22, verse 22 is quoted in Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 says clearly, Christ is saying that. Jesus Christ is saying that. And again, in verse 13 of Hebrews 2, where Isaiah 8:18 is quoted, Isaiah, isn't that in the Old Testament? Yes, but Christ is the speaker because in verse 13, toward the end of the verse, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. So, the word is called the word of Christ. The Old Testament is called the word of Christ because the Lord Jesus is the great subject of the Old Testament. And he was there representatively in the giving of the word to Moses, even the living oracles. And the Spirit of Christ is there to set him forth and magnify him in his sufferings and in his glory. So in all these ways, the Bible is the word of Christ. And we need to give the closest attention to that very truth. You see, I did say I'll come back to John 5. Can I do that now? Before we leave this point and say this, the Bible is the word of Christ. John 5, this time it's verse 46. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For, verse 46 of John 5, do you see it? He, that is Moses, wrote of me. He wrote of me. The Bible is the word of Christ. The Old Testament is the word of Christ. Because Moses, to begin with, he writes the first five books of the Old Testament, he wrote of me. And that makes these chapters of the Old Testament we're referring to the Word of Christ. The whole Bible is the Word of Christ. Now, it is, to me, very important to get a hold of that, because for one thing, it's the practice of some publishing houses. I think the practice began in America when printing the Bible to print the words of the Lord Jesus in red. And personally, I find that very unfortunate and highly regrettable, because it may lead to the conclusion that some parts of Scripture are more important than others, or more authoritative than others. Or, to put it another way, some parts of the Bible may be less inspired than others. That's not the case. The whole Bible is from God. We read this morning from 2 Timothy, remember, 3:16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So there's one standard only, one standard of inspiration. Genesis is as much inspired as Matthew is. Leviticus is as much inspired as John's Gospel is. The Bible has but the one standard of inspiration. And it's wrong to single out some portion and say, this is the Word of Christ, as if the rest of the Bible is not the Word of Christ. Now, if your Bible happens to have red print, I don't want you to feel embarrassed by what I'm saying. Well, I'm saying, rather, if I had my way, all Bibles would be printed in the same fashion. I wouldn't want you to run away with the notion the words of the Lord Jesus, because they're His spoken and gospel days, of course, are more important than the rest of Scripture. Because Colossians 3:16, have you got this verse? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, that's not just the four gospels. The word of Christ is the whole Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. The word of God is as clear as day in this matter. So we're not to contrast the writings of Peter with the writings of Paul as if, oh, they've disagreed with one another and we've got to try and determine their differences. No, no, they're not in contention. There's just the one standard of inspiration. The whole Bible, the whole Bible is the Word of Christ. Well, to close, what are we to do with that Word? It says here, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. For the Word of God to dwell in you at all means that it occupies a place in your thinking. You're reading it, yes. You're meditating on it, without doubt. You're even trying to memorize some of it as best you can. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If we just take Christian churches in this wee country of ours, it would maybe be right to say, there are lots of Christian people all across the country who know more about TV soaps, for example. I'm just using that as an illustration. They might know more about TV soaps and what's going on there than they know about their Bible. So we've got to ask the question then, is the Word of God dwelling in us richly? I wrote this little note down. Your heart is to be a sacred treasury with a wealth of heavenly jewels kept inside your heart, you see. The Word of God is to dwell in you richly, as if your heart was a casket of jewels. And you're keeping that Word locked away there. A precious, precious treasure. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That there would be a wealth there, in your soul, of all that God has given you. And if we have neglected God's Word, that's not the case. There might be some Christians today, I hope it's not in this church, I hope it's not here in this congregation, but certainly in other congregations, that have a lot of trouble finding the Epistle to the Hebrews, never mind the book of Zephaniah. Can we really say then the Word of Christ everywhere among Christian people is dwelling in them richly? We might have missed our cue there in all wisdom. Aye, the Word of God is there. Let me just close in this way. Verse 17 says, whatsoever you do, do all. And I have thought to show a connection between 16 and 17. I said at the start today, verse 16 is you and your Bible. Verse 17 is you and the work of the Lord. And I don't think you can carry out the instruction of verse 17 unless you let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Mr. Spurgeon said of John Bunyan, his blood is bibline. Prick him here and prick him there, and the Word of God just flows out of him. A lovely picture. It was true. The Word of Christ dwelt in John Bunyan richly. Martin Luther said that he would seek to find Christ everywhere in Scripture. And my heart warms to that. I visited Plymouth some years ago and took a tour there, and some from this congregation were in that tour. We went to see where Wesley preached. We looked at a number of places where the Pilgrim Fathers boarded that flimsy boat for the far-off land we call America. And we looked across the Sound, the Plymouth Sound, and we saw that little island where one of God's saints, that old Puritan, was kept in exile. But most importantly, I personally wanted to see the ruins of the church where Robert Hawker preached. He wrote the Poor Man's Commentary. And it was said of him, facetiously, that he found Christ in Scripture where no one else could find him. As if to say, well, a man was on the wrong track. I'm not so sure he was. I would not be surprised if Hawker was right, after all, and his clever critics wrong. For it's always a blessing to find Christ in Scripture. You're reading the chapter and you find Jesus there. Are you doing that? This is the Word of Christ, you see. Are you finding Christ in your Bible reading? The Holy Spirit has put him there. And although people were very clever in repudiating old Robert Hawker, I don't believe there is a clever man in existence who can say, I have found Christ in all the places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit has put him. I think the subject's beyond us. And Robert Hawker is on the right track, setting out to find Christ everywhere in Scripture. Even if he could find Christ where other smart people couldn't see Jesus. You know, there are critics today who can't even find Christ in the Gospels. Can't even find Christ in the Gospels, never mind in the Old Testament. Luther, Robert Hawker, even Spurgeon himself found Christ in all the Scriptures. It's the Word of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. When we seek to find Christ in all the places where the Holy Spirit has portrayed him, could you say, Lord, this could be a new aspect to my Bible reading, where I can find Christ in all the Scriptures. And you can say now, Lord, just speak to me. Bless thy holy word. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for mercies given to us in every way. We thank thee for a full, free salvation. Grant, O God, today thou wilt come very near. Richly bless thy word to us. Help us to press on, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Make this year and thy will a blessed year. In Jesus' name, amen.